and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachum. Our text for reflection is Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 27. Mark 10, 17 to 27. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." My theme for reflection is letting go to gain true riches. Letting go to gain true riches. In Mark 10, 17 to 27, we encounter a young man who approaches Jesus with a question that haunts the heart of many. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He was sincere, moral, and religious, a person who seemingly had it all. But he was also a man weighed down by a treasure he couldn't let go. Like the individuals we see on reality TV shows who struggle to let go of the clutter that fills their homes, this young man was emotionally bound to his wealth. He was rich in possessions but poor in spirit, unable to grasp that real freedom comes from emptying our hands of all that hinders us from holding on to God. This story is a vivid illustration of the way our attachments can hinder our pursuit of what truly matters. When Jesus tells the young man, "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me," he's not issuing a command meant to strip away joy, but an invitation to find joy in something greater. The young man's face falls and he walks away sad. His possessions were not just things. They had become his identity, his sense of security. This reflection is not just about money or wealth. For many of us, the clutter in our hearts can be anything that we place above God. Our ambitions, our pride, our sense of control, or even the comfort of routines that leave little room for God's surprises. As the philosopher Soren Kierkegaard said, "The tyrant dies and his rule is over. The martyr dies and his rule begins." Our possessions and our pride can tyrannize us, ruling over our lives. But when we learn to let go of them, the life God intends for us can truly begin. Jesus' response to the young man's struggle is striking. Mark tells us that Jesus looked at him and loved him. This look wasn't one of judgment or disappointment. It was a gaze filled with compassion and understanding. Jesus saw through the young man's facet his wealth, his obedience to the law, his external piety, and loved him enough to point out the one thing that was holding him back from true freedom. The disciples who witnessed this encounter were astonished. If a wealthy religious man couldn't enter the kingdom of God, who could? To which we reply, but who could indeed? But Jesus' answer offers us hope. With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. The call is not for us to rely on our strength to achieve salvation, but to recognize our inability and trust fully in God's grace. Jesus shows us that when we are willing to empty ourselves, our pride, our misplaced priorities, he is ready to fill us with something far greater. The young man's tragedy was that he couldn't envision a life without his wealth. Yet Jesus was offering him a treasure that could not be bought, a treasure that would not decay or fade, eternal life and true intimacy with God. This is the challenge for us today, to let go of the false gods we cling to, so that our hands, hearts, and lives are open to the fullness of what God wants to give us. My dear friends, we live in a culture that glorifies wealth, status, and accumulation. We are conditioned to believe that our worth is linked to what we possess, our homes, our bank accounts, our accomplishments. But Jesus turns this idea upside down. He invites us to find our worth not in the things we hold on to, but in the love that he freely offers. To choose Jesus means to choose a life that often runs counter to societal norms, where success is not defined by material wealth, but by how well we love God and others. Jesus' interaction with the rich young ruler challenges us to evaluate what we hold most dear. Are we willing to trust God enough to let go of our stuff? Whether that stuff is material wealth, our obsession with achievements, or our desire to control every outcome, Jesus invites us to release it, not as a loss, but as a pathway to gain something far greater. This passage reminds us that our true treasure is not found in earthly wealth or in the clutter of our ambitions, but in the richness of a life lived in surrender to God. Jesus doesn't merely call us to give up things. He calls us to take hold of a far greater treasure. When we trust in him, he promises to fill our lives with what is truly valuable: his love, his grace, and his peace. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, what possessions or priorities are you holding on to that hinder